welcome to your new Tuesday night tradition as St. Louis City SC finds a new ray forward. With a new era comes a new podcast as the red smoke rises on YouTube as well as your favorite podcast provider. I am one of your hosts, Tom Franklin, better known as Soccer Zombie, and I am joined by my friends, Jeremy Clements. How's it going, Jeremy?
Doing well. How you doing?
You know, I'm feeling the vibes, but it could be just that new podcast smell, you know, that I'm inhaling right now.
I love it.
I love it too. And I see we got our chat going on YouTube as well. I see all of you. If you are watching on YouTube, drop your comments in the chat. We will have a segment towards the end of our show where we will kind of go through everything, but we'll also keep an eye on it as well and address as we go along here. A lot of comments already. And then our other permanent co-host on this show is Jake Henry. How's it going, Jake?
Hello, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
Yep, glad you're here as well, and glad everyone is here as well. So, spoiler alert, Red Smoke Rising. We were not anticipating starting this podcast until, you know, about a month from now or so. We were looking at a launch date of December 2nd, and we still are, and I'll explain that, but again, the timing with the new sporting director just felt like a good time to launch this and kind of also gives us a chance to work out the kinks as well. So thankfully, none so far yet. But I want to take a little bit of time before we get into the Corey Raid chatter. And I have a feeling that a lot of folks on YouTube probably know who we are. But for those of you that don't, and those of you that are watching or listening in the future, because I have to remember I'm also doing this for podcast listeners as well. I am Tom Franklin, Soccer Zombie. I am a lifelong soccer fan that grew up in a soccer family. My dad married into a soccer family. My dad couldn't care less about soccer, honestly. And I've been a Liverpool fan since the mid-2000s. I consider them my gateway drug into club soccer as we know it. But admittedly, I was not an MLS fan really until St. Louis City came along because, well, St. Louis didn't have a club until St. Louis City came along. And around the time that St. Louis City came along, I was wrapping up a 14-year news career where I was finishing up at KMOX as well as Fox 2. And I left that career. But I guess the journalism never left me. So that is, I started the YouTube channel as a result of that and as a way to communicate with fellow soccer fans. And it's been successful so far, but I kind of made the determination that soccer is better when it's enjoyed with friends, and it's better enjoyed when you are discussing with friends here. And, you know, that not just you, Jeremy, not just you, Jake, you both have been part of, you know, my soccer experience. Jake, we've probably logged at least 5,000 miles together on our various soccer travels. But also some folks in the chat. I see Aaron Ed in there. Aaron Ed is, by the way, this gives me a good chance to explain that we're not the only three voices that you are going to hear on this podcast. We'll be the ones that are here week in and week out. But for a lot of our episodes, we're going to have a fourth chair. And the fourth chair is going to be a rotation of could be someone like Aaron Ed, for instance. If you are interested in being part of our fourth chair, let us know. Don't be shy. But we do have a very good roster of people that will come in, you know, every now and then to talk about not just City, but maybe, you know, things on the supporter group side as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we do have a fourth guest in a way today. We'll get to him in just a little bit because we also kind of need to explain why we are doing this on STL Soccer News. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But before we get to that, Jeremy, tell me a little bit about yourself and why are you here?
Well, much like yourself, Tom, I'm also a former journalist, worked in radio in Alton, Illinois for a few years right out of college. That's what I was hoping to do for a career. Life had some other plans, threw some curveballs, but lo and behold, as a guy that was obsessed with sports growing up, still pretty much obsessed today. And soccer is my favorite. So followed Manchester United is my team in the Prem. And when City was formed, I was all in from day one. Maybe part of it was the Rams leaving and just wanting something new and fresh and something near and dear to St. Louis. So I was all in on City. And as of today, I'm a season ticket holder. So I'm pretty excited about that. But
congrats.
Yep. So that's a big thing for me. But no, I'm also, some folks may in the chat know I was on Top Corner Talk with Mo Football and Oscar Rojas. And now here it's part of Red Smoke Rising. And looking forward to the journey that we're going to be on together as three guys talking footy with guests throughout.
By the way, Three Guys Talking Footy was a name consideration for this show, by the way, but Red Smoke Rising did beat itself out. So anyway, you've probably seen me on social media a lot. You know, I can be a little insufferable at times. Jeremy is a lot less insufferable than I am, you know, but you've seen his stuff on social media and his graphics as well, and you'll see them here as well. Jake Henry, tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself to the masses.
Well, don't really have a soccer background. My dad played in D1. He was a defender for SIUE. He fell out of love for the game. And when they were building the stadium, I was able to connect with him more on that because I brought him back. And so what I'm really excited to do is keep talking about it and grow with you guys, and just real excited. So I unlike you guys, I don't have a journalistic background, so I'm I got some work to do. So
all right,
but yeah, primarily the coverage you'll see from me here is City 2 and Academy. I'm sure we'll touch on that later, and yeah, I'm really excited to get going.
And I should state that there are few people in the St. Louis City fan community that follow City 2 and the Academy quite like Jake Henry is. So during the season, he's going to be giving us updates on City 2, you know, some youngsters to watch out for. Also, City 2 updates because City 2 is, I think, growing in popularity as they continue to win. Well, except against Minnesota, but we don't talk about that, and we are not going to talk about that because it's old news and we only talk about current news on this channel. So, and speaking of news, that leads me to STL soccer news. So as you know, I on my Soccer Zombie channel, I was covering St. Louis City through analysis and watch-alongs. And, you know, whenever we had a new signing, you know, I would have new videos to introduce new signings, talk about outgoings, that sort of thing. And I felt that it was kind of time to break that away from the other stuff that I'm doing on Soccer Zombie, whether it's, you know, USL, NWSL, the local non-league stuff, which, by the way, some very exciting Open Cup news coming up very soon for St. Louis. There is, by the time that this comes out on the podcast, it may be out already, but I'm going to spoil it for you right now, and I can't say anything more than that. St. Louis is hosting an Open Cup game later this month. Details to come. Watch our socials for that one. But regardless, I think for St. Louis City news, I think that, you know, Chris Gephardt, we're going to bring him on to the show right now. Chris is, you know, building out STL Soccer News. Of course, Chris, you have been working tirelessly to promote local content creators and, you know, just the St. Louis, you know, content community, not just us, but also giving us kind of a Rolodex of other teams as well. And I know you're kind of expanding that a little bit with articles on your website as well. So I'm glad to work with you, Chris, on expanding your YouTube horizons as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, fellas. I'm super excited to be on with you guys and see what you guys do with this. And you know, when we kind of came up with the concept of hosting it over on my platform and kind of growing that and expanding what St. Louis Soccer News can cover and how it covers soccer in the area, you know, this is just the first step, you know, and hopefully this leads to additional shows and additional people who are interested in covering soccer, whether it's at the MLS level or at lower levels and here in the area, and there's plenty to cover. You know, I'm just trying to provide a platform for people who want to get in, you know, involved in doing that and covering the game and talking about the game. And this was a perfect opportunity, I think, for you guys and for me to kind of grow this together. You know, and I'm excited, like I said, to see what you guys do with the show. You know, I know Tom with your, you know, social media and your content creation background now for the past few years, you have a lot of experience in doing stuff like this. Even though I know the podcast thing is, you know, you've dabbled in that before with our friends at River City Ramble and you know, so you're going to bring that level of experience. And Jeremy, you know, with your reporting background and your news background and your focus on analytics, I think that's going to be, you know, very helpful and bring something to the show that, you know, is data driven, which is great. And then Jake, I'm going to repeat what Tom said basically, but I don't know anybody who's more kind of in tune with what's going on with City 2 and the Academy. And that's really going to bring something, I think, to this show that is going to be really unique in the space. And like Tom said, you know, I try to promote everybody and who wants to be active in content creation, whether it's YouTube or podcasts or writing or any of it. So, you know, certainly with you guys, I'm going to do everything I can to help you. And I certainly am going to be your biggest fan and hope that you guys have fun, because ultimately that's the most important thing about this, is just to have a good time talking soccer with your friends. So.
Well, exactly. And that, again, you know, soccer's supposed to be fun. You know, that's the main thing. We hope we can have some fun on this show as well. And, you know, with the way our team's been playing the past couple of years, also maybe a chance for a little therapy as well, because sometimes you just got to talk out your feelings, especially with this club. But Chris, you're also going to be in that fourth chair rotation as well. So you'll be, you know, in and out, you know, as time goes on. And I just also want to say as well that one reason I'm partnering with you, Chris, is because I believe that there are more content creators out there that just, you know, need a platform, need some support. Jake, you're getting your content creation start with us. I know you had a couple of hits with Flyover Footy, you know, back in the day, but like you haven't done anything like full time before. You know, of course, River City Ramble, you know, they gave me, you know, a platform, you know, for a while, and I thank them for that. You know, Mike, Mason, Sean, they're my buddies. Chris Zimmerman as well. Love that dude. They're going to continue on in their way going forward. I think they'll have some news on that coming soon. And of course, Jeremy, you know, your podcast debut with Top Corner Talk as well. You know, these are, you know, I mean, that got us here to the dance, but like, what I'm trying to get at is if anyone out there, you know, wants to, you know, whether if you just want to write, you know, talk to Chris Gebhardt, you know, and, you know, and, you know, if you have things to say about St. Louis City or St. Louis soccer in general, I'm sure, you know, Chris would love to work with you on your articles. And if you want to do something like this, you know, whether it's a podcast or it's anything on YouTube, reach out to us, because we are definitely, you know, we want to carry out the vision that that Chris had, you know, in promoting local content. So, by the way, there is 23 people watching now on our various platforms now. So thank you so much for that. And if you would be so kind as to drop a like on whatever YouTube you are watching, that helps the channels. I will say as a disclaimer, I am simulcasting this on Soccer Zombie as well as STL Soccer News. Eventually, this will be just streamed on the STL Soccer News YouTube channel. So if you are watching this on Soccer Zombie, I would find just search for STL Soccer News on YouTube, subscribe to that channel, because eventually that's the only YouTube channel that is going to be streaming this. We'll probably cut that off closer to the season. But anyway, Chris, I want to thank you for giving us a platform. You know, this is you've been instrumental in helping us getting us set up, and look forward to seeing more of you going forward.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm excited to see where you guys go with this. And if there's anything, obviously, like Tom said, that if people are interested in talking about how you can get involved in covering soccer in the area, you know, I'm always able to listen and willing to work with people. And like I said, I'm really enthusiastic about what you guys are going to bring to the content space here in St. Louis. We have a lot of great podcasters, YouTubers, writers, et cetera, but there's always a niche. There's always a room for more. And I think you guys are going to fit in just perfectly. So again, I wish you guys all the best of luck. Look forward to working with you. And I'm sure I'll be in that fourth chair at some point and joining in the fun that you guys are going to have. So yeah, that's all I got for you. So you can kick me out and get back to the thing. So.
All righty. 3, 2, 1, yeet. All right. There we go. Thanks so much, Chris. Appreciate everything that you do. And before we get into the reason you probably are here right now, I do want to give a special thank you to sponsor of the show, the Pat Connolly Tavern, located at the corner of Oakland and Tam in beautiful Dogtown. Jake is pointing at the sign right now, right underneath him. And they are a St. Louis institution since 1942. They are located right near the zoo, right near Forest Park. So there, if you're having a day out with the kiddos, want to grab a bite to eat, something cool to drink, Pat Connolly Tavern is there for you. Also, if you want to catch a game as well, I had a chance to do a live kind of in-person get-together for the Austin game. Jeremy, you were there for that, and quite a few of you were there. Chris Gebhardt was there. A lot of you in the chat were there as well. I see you, Ryan Fraley, you were there. Aaron Leak, you were in Austin, so you don't count. But Kayla, you were there. I see you. Jerry, you were there as well. Keep those comments going. We are definitely noticing them, and I see you, Jeremy, keeping up there in the chat as well. But thank you to Pat Connolly Tavern for supporting this channel, and feel free to support them as well, and tell them that Soccer Zombie sent you.
And Tom, I actually had somebody DM me on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days, asking if our first episode was going to be live at Pat Connolly.
I'm not ruling out the possibility of going forward of future episodes being broadcast from Pat Connolly. That is something that I have talked to with the owner there. And I think that is something that, down the line, we might be able to do at some point. But regardless, we've kicked around the bush at this point too much. Now we got to get the right Ray going on this show and talking about Corey Ray. And yes, I see you, Aaron Leak. You were in Austin. You don't count. You just don't count. But that's okay. But you count here. That's the main thing. You count tonight. Corey Ray, he counts. He is our new sporting director, the second sporting director in club history. The club made the announcement on Monday, which came 3 days after it was revealed on ESPN.com and Jeff Carlisle that Corey Ray would be the I feel it's a long-awaited sporting director, guys. I was doing a countdown. It was only 2 months after Lutz. So, but I definitely, guys, before the Ray announcement, I definitely felt the anxiety in the fan base. Did you guys feel it too?
Jake, you want to go in first, or you want me to jump in?
I'll go ahead. I'm really just really happy to see him finally announce it. The 2 months, it felt like a long time. I'm glad it's over.
I think what's interesting, Tom, is I was anxious because we made moves. But I think I got more anxious when I started seeing that our former sporting director, Lutz Pfannenstiel, was appointed as a sporting director for Aberdeen before we had filled his vacancy. That was what I think geared my anxiety up to 10 a little bit. But you got to get it right. So you got to do it the right way. Is that too much?
No, it is the right Ray. It is. You have identified the right Ray, and I do want to say that at least we hired Corey Ray before Lutz left town. He leaves for his Aberdeen adventure later on this week, and I did catch up with Lutz last night at the St. Louis Blues game. I posted that on my socials, but he was very complimentary of his time in St. Louis. In fact, it kind of a somber moment. So we were, he gave me a ride to and from because I live on the way from where he lives, and we were driving back, and we drove by Energizer Park. And he said it was going to be the last time that he drove by Energizer Park before he left later this week. And a bit of a bittersweet moment. And I could kind of, I could just tell that, he really loved this city. And I think he really did care But that is the final eulogy on Lutz's time here in St. Louis. But getting to our new sporting director Corey Ray, Jeremy, I believe you got some graphics to discuss here. But we're waiting for the press the press announcement tomorrow. It's going to be the press conference with Corey. I'm guessing Corey's going to be still in. I guess he is in town because he did take pictures, you know, of him signing the contract. So I assume that he will be in person whenever he's doing this. But I know with his work visa situation, Matt Baker reporting that they are hoping to get that done. I think that's actually Tom Timmerman. Maybe reported that they hope to get that done by Thanksgiving. So I don't know. He might be able to do some work while he's in Canada, but he's here in St. Louis. I'm not a logistics expert, so I'm just going to move on. Yeah. Diego said about Corey in the announcement, Corey is a progressive sporting director who brings a forward-thinking, holistic approach to building winning teams. His extensive knowledge of the MLS landscape, deep squad building and recruiting expertise, and proven track record in creating high-performing, sustainable organizations and cultures makes him an ideal fit for the club. He will make us stronger by building upon our existing foundation and working collaboratively with our sporting team to improve in every aspect of our operations. And Jeremy, this is kind of the tip of the iceberg when it comes to things that Diego has said about this hire, isn't it?
It's raised a bunch of, there's parts of it that have raised questions. I think there's one big theme for this, and it's the idea that he's data driven and he's going to bring up, bring forward a pathway of development. We'll get into that later when we talk about who Corey is and what he's done in his career to this point. But yeah, Tom, Jake, I think that this is a big theme moving forward, is that he's going to use data and bring a forward thinking approach to analyzing the needs of this club from not just the first team, but from, you know, the bottom up, as they say.
Jake, what did you take away from this statement from Diego?
I think I took away a lot of what Jeremy was saying. And to kind of piggyback off that, it kind of goes with the evolution of the game. You know, like, yeah, you're seeing a lot of clubs go from just basic, like, formations and, like, all that goals, assists. And now you're starting to see a push. Actually, you've been starting to see a push towards the expected goals, expected assists, PPDA, all that good stuff. So I think it's more, I don't want to say getting with the times, but it's just taking that next step.
Well, and I think sustainability and success, like, you think about Corey Ray, again, we'll get to this later, but, you know, Columbus is kind of the gold standard clubs because of how good they've been at developing talent and staying relevant for so many years. City's been in the league for 3 years. We've been really good for probably a little over half of a season and then kind of bad and mid since, really. And we need to figure out what gets us to a point of stability. And the feeling I get from Diego, and I can't imagine he'd throw out anything else since they just hired the guy, is that Corey's going to bring stability to the club.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I think that's what a lot of fans are wanting right now. Of course, we just lost our first ever sporting director, you know, the guy that built this club, that, you know, really, you know, built the foundation of it. And so, yeah, we were kind of marching into the unknown here a little bit because, of course, we don't have a head coach either. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that process going on. I do want to, before we get to Corey Ray's statement, I do want to, like, pluck something out from Tom Timmerman's article where he talked to Diego Gigliani about this signing, and also kind of talked a little bit about where Diego stands in the organization as far as how much power that he has, because I think that was leading to a lot of anxiety. But before I get into that, though, I'm going to read this quote here from Diego, and tell me this is not a dig at Lutz. So he says, quote, "You will see immediately that Corey is very different in that he approaches sporting decision-making and sporting high performance in a very holistic way. It's not just about having relationship with clubs and agents and using a network," end quote. That last line, guys, feels like a dig to me. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I really think it is, and it's just it's unnecessary, honestly. I mean, it's an unnecessary dig at somebody who's been a big ambassador for this club, for this city.
Yeah. Jeremy, what did you think?
No, I mean, it is. I think there seems to be, I wonder if, and again, this is, I hate to be the guy that speculates, but it leads me to speculate that maybe there was some kind of a division in the way that maybe Diego thought decisions should be made versus what Lutz and his approach to getting deals done. I mean, you know, I think through different ways and means, we found out over the time of Lutz Fanning's deal that he liked to lean on his connections. He would use those to his advantage. I mean, probably played into a way of getting Berkey to come here in the first place, right? Yeah. It's these connections he's had from his time with Hoffenheim and Dusseldorf in Germany, and that inside that Bundesliga sphere. Again, Marcel Hartl, another big name that's come because of some of those connections. And maybe there's a difference in evaluation of talent or all of the player relations and forming less of a friendship versus, you know, using data and analytics to drive a professional relationship and decision-making. So I 100% agree that it's certainly a dig in my mind.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I also wonder, though, if this is Diego also signaling that, you know, or trying to signal to the fan base that, like, hey, we're trying something different here. Because, I mean, Lutz himself, when he started out, he was trying something different himself, you know, with his, you know, very international roster starting out. You know, it was kind of a ragtag roster because, you know, we don't have, we're not like San Diego where we have that Right to Dream connection, you know, where we have this pipeline, you know, that Right to Dream has that, you know, funnels play. Players, you know, from that academy and, you know, Andreas Dreyer and those guys, you know, we have to kind of, you know, we were built different, you know, as you know, the youngins would say, right, Jake? I will say, you know, Lutz, you know, tried himself and it just didn't work. And I think, you know, I mean, he was unlucky as well with injuries. I mean, I think, you know, as time goes on, we'll look back at the Lutz era with, I think, kinder eyes than, you know, maybe, you know, as we did when he left. But I am very interested to see how Ray does take what Lutz built and shapes a roster in his image. And, you know, as you know, we'll talk about in a little bit, Jeremy, you know, his image, what is his image? He hasn't really had a chance to show his image at this point yet, but you know, he did have some very kind things to say.
Yep, let me pull that up for you. Sorry.
Yep, but you know, but he you know, in talking about signing with St. Louis, he is someone that I think comes here with a little something to prove. But Jeremy, it sounds like he's very, very honored, you know, to be here. And, you know, he talks a lot about his history in this quote.
Yep, saying, quote, "I'm honored to join St. Louis City SC and be part of a city that's so ingrained with soccer history in this country. The vision and ambition here from the fans and the ownership group are clear, and that's to build a winning and competitive team rooted in development, innovation, and community. I can't wait to work with the incredible staff, players, and fans to continue building a club that represents the very best of this city, both on and off the field." That's the quote from Corey from the press release. And I think the big thing, again, I hear development and innovation. Those are the two buzzwords that I take out of that, guys. Diego said in that same article you cited from Tom Timmerman, you know, talking about organizational structure and using data for decision making to create stable processes. I think all of that ties back into this statement. What do you guys think?
I think the development part is what kind of intrigues me a little bit, because I think St. Louis is a club that needs to learn how to develop from within, because we're not going to be signing the Heung-min Sons. We're not going to be signing the Lionel Messis or Thomas Mullers. And we're just not that club. But we do come from a city with a rich soccer history, with a lot of soccer talent. I mean, he drafted a St. Louis soccer talent in Patrick Schulte when he was over, you know, with Columbus Crew too. And, you know, Schulte was their goalie when they won the Next Pro finals over St. Louis City too, mind you. So it was a bit of a bittersweet moment there, definitely. But, you know, Jake, I mean, this is a guy that he has a great history of building from within. And as someone that follows City 2 in the academy, we need that, don't we?
Absolutely. just the thing about that it really intrigues me is about the development part is we have a team in City 2 of just the mid like level USL MLS debate or that's debatable, but what really intrigues me is just how he'll build City 2, because you got a new coach, or you're going to need a new coach for City 2. But from the development aspect, it'll be interesting to see where, like, how it who do they pick for that coach position too.
I mean, it could be John Hackworth still, depending on what, you know, where he goes from here, because he was named as a candidate for the sporting director. We'll talk a little bit more about that, you know, process here in a bit. But getting back to City 2, Jake, you know, City 2, yes, they were the best team in the regular season in MLS Next Pro, but they did have, you know, guys like Mateo Kidd, who's in his mid-20s. You had other players that were, you know, that little older, like McSorley, you know, Brandon McSorley, pass it to Sorry, he'll score. I love that chant by the Fandalorians, but he's 24 himself. And so you have players that are playing for City 2 that are kind of long on the tooth. So I think, Jake, that it's going to be very exciting to see what he does with the youth coming forward and to see if going forward, if City 2 does rely on as many veterans as they have.
Absolutely. And especially with Corey Ray's drafting prowess, it's just going to be like, what will he do there?
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, I'm really interested to see what he does going forward, but I'm also just kind of interested in seeing what he does, period, not just from, you know, the aspect of how does he develop talent, but also he's unproven. And it's weird to say about a guy that has been in the MLS circle since 2007, because he is someone that he was with Toronto for a lot of years, worked his way up through that organization. He was the Crew 2 guy with Columbus, and he didn't, you know, he may have felt that he got passed over when his mentor, you know, stepped aside. And now he goes to Montreal and he doesn't really get the chance that I think, you know, he really, I mean, someone like him, maybe he, you know, he felt he deserved. So, Jeremy, do you think that coming in with a chip on his shoulder, you know, to prove himself like this is going to be a benefit to the club? Or do you think that are you worried about that lack of experience?
I'm worried about it. And, you know, later on in the show, we'll tie into what some of the teams and the fans that he's worked with and for have said about him and how we should be looking at this hire. But I do have some concerns of he's never been the guy. Yes, I have concerns about his network outside of the United States. Yep. You know, he's shown an ability that you guys have already spoke about in terms of drafting, developing internally. Great. But there's a market outside of that that you also have to use to build your team effectively and complete a roster. And for a team that put out in their statement, literally titling it roster build experience, another in my mind, subtle shot at Lutz, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal that we've got. I think he's going to want something to prove after the way he left Montreal. And I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm willing to give him a shot.
Scale of 1 to 10, Jake, where are your nerves?
Let's see, about 6.
About a 6. Okay, so you're you know, not great, not terrible. You're a little nervous. Why?
Yeah, I mean, like you guys have said, he's never been the guy. So, yeah, he's just never been the guy. But I'm also in the mindset where you got to start somewhere at this level.
I mean, you know, it's like the old saying goes, you know, when you get passed over for a job, how do I get experience if I don't have experience? You know, this is kind of one of those jobs where, you know, you he might have to learn some lessons on the fly. But talking a little bit about the process to get him in town here. So it has come out, you know, some of the names that were in the running for the sporting director job. And some of them are surprising. Some of them are not surprising. Other candidates included Brentford's technical director, Lee Dykes. LA Galaxy's GM, Will Kuntz. Current technical director for St. Louis City, John Hackworth, and perennial candidate for a job in St. Louis City's hierarchy, John Hackworth. And also the other confirmed name that came out, and this came from Tom Bogert, was Bahia's Carlos Santoro. And if you don't know what's a Bahia or where's a Bahia, it's in Brazil. And more importantly, it is a club in Brazil that is owned by Citigroup. So before we get to the other candidates, we were talking about Ray's experience as the guy, and I kind of want to use that as a bit of a bridge. So I would have had a big problem if it was Carlos Santoro named as a sporting director, and here's why. Again, Diego Gigliani, what do we know about him? What we know that he loves corporate speak. We know that he's a diplomat. We know that, you know, in person, he's generally a nice guy. But we also know that he used to work for Citigroup. That is probably one of the things that enticed Carolyn Kendall and the rest of the ownership group to hire him in the role that he is in. And to me, we were, talking about, Corey Ray and his fallout in Montreal, as we'll get to in a bit. He was let go for a Nepo hire. Literally. I mean, the Saputos hired, basically put their kids, in Corey Ray's spot. If Carlos Santoro was hired as, St. Louis City sporting director, that would tell me that Diego has a lot of power in this club and maybe more power than a lot of us are comfortable with. It would be very hard. It would insulate Diego a little bit, because I think there's pressure on Diego, because you get rid of Olaf Melberg, and Olaf Melberg had his issues. Take the loot situation, take the injuries, take everything aside. Olaf himself had issues, that it just was not, it was the definition of a relationship that just wasn't working. And, you pulled the plug on that very early on. That was basically the Olaf Melberg situation. So you take Olaf, that's one fall guy. You take Lutz out of the way, that's another fall guy. And we don't know exactly what transpired behind the scenes that led to Lutz getting his walking papers, but there's another fall guy. So we're going up the ladder here, and now the ladder's up to Diego. So if Diego brings in Carlos Santoro, a Citigroup guy that has no MLS experience whatsoever, it would send a very clear signal that maybe what Diego was saying about not being involved in the sporting, side, maybe not entirely true. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, guys, but I feel that Corey Ray, his lack of experience, the rap on him. And something, Jeremy, that you've heard, from, around the block as well, is that he didn't have a lot of power in Montreal. And so you're talking about someone that has not had a chance to be the guy. If you're Corey Ray, are you being brought in to be Diego's guy, quote unquote? And does Corey Ray get a chance to assert himself, as, someone that can be trusted fully to make sporting decisions? I think that's where some of my nerves come in a little bit with Ray. I don't think I'm as nervous as you guys, mainly just because I'm probably at this point, I'm just tired of, being woeful about this team. But I want to feel happy about this team. But what do you make of the dynamic that Corey Ray and Diego Gigliani will have? And Jeremy, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm hopeful that they will maintain a structure of I've got my lane and you've got your lane. And yes, we will cross between them from time to time, but it's not going to be to the point of questioning who made the decisions to the level that I think we've been in. in the past few weeks and probably months since we really had the end of the Fan and Shield era, as we call it. You know, I think that especially when we saw the eyebrows raising about the roster decisions that were cleared up in the Post-Dispatch reporting that it was, you know, Hackworth's decisions. I think we got a little clarity there, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping that we get now further clarity. And I think we have, which we'll get to. But I do think it's going to be. I want to say I'm going to say let's trust. That's a hard word for me. Just a week or two ago, I was on social media saying the opposite. I'm going to trust Diego right now. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, see what we go and see how this rolls, and hope that we get a more assertive Corey Ray than what I've heard about.
So Jerry Hayes in our chat was known for her trust in Lutz mantra. So Jerry, you might want to get to, I don't know if you're going to get right to work on the trust in Diego buttons and stickers. I suspect you probably won't, but something to consider. Jake, what do you think about the power dynamic between Corey and Diego?
I really hope it's not like the St. Louis Cardinals, the other team we've got down here, where it was like John Mozeliak and Michael Gersh. But I will give Diego the benefit of the doubt, but I'm still very hesitant.
Yeah, I'm with you. And of course, I'm, you know, Doug Armstrong. Eventually, we're going to have that with Armstrong and Steen with the Blues, so we got to worry about that too. But speaking of power dynamics, so John Hackworth, it kind of came out as, you know, this process went, you know, came to an end. You know, I think there was a lot of fans that were worried that Hackworth was going to be the guy because he was the one, it came out that he made the decision to extend the contracts. And that's for the training that's taking place, you know, for this offseason. Something a lot of more clubs are doing, as Matt pointed out on Flyover yesterday. But John Hackworth has been passed over again. He was interim head coach last year, did not get the coaching job this year. That went to Olaf Melberg. He was a candidate for sporting director, does not get the sporting director job now. So what becomes a Hackworth, Jeremy?
I mean, all indications are that he's going to reassume the role of technical director. I think if it was going to be otherwise, we would have gotten an announcement of his departure. And maybe that's the role he's happy in. Maybe that's where he's best fit for the club.
It could be. Although I do wonder, Jake, maybe he's got the coaching itch again after coaching a very good City 2 team. What do you think?
I don't see it. Especially when you look at the roster composition, it changes every year. I feel like he'd be better coaching the coach that will take over the City 2, that will maybe take over the City 2 team next year.
Whoever it is, and that still could be Critch, you know, depending on, you know, which direction they go. I don't have a strong feeling one way or another where we're going to go on the head coaching job. I've heard Laurent Courtois mentioned, you know, he's no longer with Montreal, and if you're talking about, you know, strengthening your position within a club by surrounding yourself with people who you can trust. I mean, Diego apparently was trying to do that with Carlos Santoro. You know, wouldn't it be kind of a power move by Corey Ray if he brings in Laurent Courtois, a guy that he worked with not just in Montreal, but with Crew 2? I mean, you know, Jake, this is a guy that did some good work with Crew 2.
Absolutely. He beat us in the championship. So
thanks for the reminder.
A very good City 2 team that year, too.
Yeah, very good. Well, yeah, I mean, you had Berkey, you had Klaus, you had Leuven playing. You also had this guy named Selmer Pedro. Whatever happened to him? Sorry, Jake.
I'll just say he scored this weekend, so.
You know what? Banger of a goal too. Banger. Look up the Velez Mostar like Twitter account and like look at the video of Selmer Pedro's goal and just ask yourself, why couldn't we have that here in St. Louis? Because it was a wonder goal. But yeah. So I mean, getting back to Hackworth, Jeremy, where do you see his future? Because I believe he's got one more year on his contract. So like, what becomes of him? He's been passed over twice now.
I mean, that's the million-dollar question. I think he's going to see out his contract in St. Louis. I don't think he leaves. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's decision time. Yeah, he's said on the record multiple times he loves St. Louis. He loves the club. He's been here since day one, I think, or close to it, almost day one. So he's rooted here at this point. Like I said, his best fit. It might be here. I how many other organizations in the league might view him as a coach? Or and honestly, how much does missing two opportunities, one that's probably a demotion and one that's a promotion, hurt his stock elsewhere?
I mean, I think, you know, you Jake, you kind of brought up the question of like, what does Hack want to do? You know, at this point of his career, like maybe, you know, he's, you know, in his mid 50s, you know, so it's like, at this point, is he content just, you know, being kind of, you know, the quiet, you know, voice in the front office, you know, that, you know, exercises contract extensions and, you know, helps with the coaching side of things, you know, kind of like almost as like a consultant type of a role? I mean, you would have to ask Hack on that. Other candidates, Lee Dykes, Brentford. He was also a finalist, you know, speaking of getting passed over. He was also a finalist with Sporting KC. Had a chance to talk to Daniel Sperry with the Kansas City Star when I was at the KC Current game this past Sunday. And he also mentioned that Corey Ray was a finalist at SKC as well. I don't think he was like the final two or three, but like he made it, you know, a little ways into that process. So, but yeah, Dykes didn't get the job in SKC, didn't get the job here in St. Louis. Everything I've heard about Dykes is he's a rising star in this game. And he's, you know, like I did a, you know, a little video on him where, you know, I talked to some of his, like some of his big signings. Like he discovered Brian Mbeumo. Pulled him from, you know, I think a Ligue 2 team in France and flipped him to Manchester United for, which is, by the way, Jeremy Clement's team, but we'll forgive him for that. But yes, flipped him to Man United for big bucks. So, and he was credited for discovering Mbeumo. So, you know, you have to wonder what happened with these teams where, you know, he's not the guy for either when both, I mean, really St. Louis and Kansas are really in similar positions where it's been back to back bad years, and I think Kansas is a little more rudderless than St. Louis is, but not by too much. So, like, you know, you look at a guy like Dykes and you don't hire him, you have to wonder what happened there, Jeremy.
Yeah, and before I surmise what may or may not have happened, the only one of the candidates that I really had any thought on was Dykes, because I think mm-hmm. when you put Ray up against Dykes, the one thing as I was researching more about Lee Dykes, he's also kind of an analytics guy. He's a data guy. He's a development guy coming from Brentford. And so it starts to paint a bigger picture for me of what type of profile of person and they were looking for to fill this role. Mm-hmm. It seems to be that more analytical mind. But what happened, it could be anything. Could it have been a pay issue? Maybe, you know, the Premier League is what, 9-10 games now in. So a third of the way through the season, roughly. Yeah. And you've got Brentford who are, I still think Brentford's near the top 10 or in the top 10. So
having a good year.
They're fighting for a potential, you know, European spot. And so you don't want to lose your sporting director before the winter transfer window. So could it have been a release date issue? You know, we won't really ever know. No. You know, so that's the best two guesses I have, is either pay or release date.
And honestly, I can see the release date being a factor as well. I mean, you know, Brentford, I mean, they're coming into a January window where they might want to bring in some reinforcements. Do you really want to let your technical director walk right before then? You know, it'd be interesting to see how Lee reacts to that. Like, if he really wanted these jobs and Brentford wouldn't let him go, like, you know, now is he going to leave the next opportunity? But that's their problem. It's not going to be ours. And then finally, the other name that came out was Will Kuntz from LA Galaxy. And I got to apologize to Ball Watching because I was a little skeptical, more than a little skeptical, when this report came out about Will Kuntz. But he was in the running, at least in some degree. I don't know if he was a finalist, but like he, you know, there was definitely contact made between the club and Kuntz. And how would you have felt about Will Kuntz coming to St. Louis? Jake, what do you think?
I mean, it would have been an interesting hire.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about him as I do now, or as I know about Ray or Dykes, but the LA Galaxy are such a historic name, but we just need that stability. And yep. right now, when you look at the Galaxy, they're not stable. They won the MLS Cup last year, and now they're like this year.
Yeah, I mean, he did build an MLS Cup winner, but then with MLS's rules, he had to. I mean, and of course, Ricky Pooch getting hurt, which injuries affecting general managers / sporting directors 10 years. Tell me where I have heard that before, Jeremy.
What's that? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll just make an analogy that, Will Koontz, they went from MLS Cup to Wooden Spoon contenders. And part of that was because Ricky Pooch was hurt for, much of the year. Injuries affecting sporting directors. Where have I heard that before?
Oh, we would never imagine that being the case in St. Louis, right?
Never.
We've been perfectly healthy, right? We didn't have like 8 or 9 players on the, injury report for, 3/4 of the season.
I mean, we're keeping the training room healthy, that's for sure. I mean, with bodies.
Right, yeah. They never have a vacancy on those tables.
Never, never, ever. But anyway, we didn't hire any of those guys. We hired Corey Ray, and he is someone, Jeremy, that we've been hearing a lot around the league about him as we're learning more about who he is as a person. And he comes very highly regarded, including from someone that I think a lot of people know in SoccerWise's David Gass.
Yep. Reached out to him on Blue Sky just to get his initial thoughts the day of the leak on Friday. And he said, quote, "I'm hyped. He knows how to win in MLS, which has been lacking in St. Louis. He's also got a history of building pathways for young players, both homegrown and draft/ young signings, which should be a major part of St. Louis's success. I think he's a home run." Gass was big on the Corey Ray hire. That's how we felt. And I don't know. How do you guys feel about what Gass said?
Well, Gass is someone that, for one, I think he knows Corey Ray well. And I say that because I believe he was a guest of David Gass, a couple years ago. Corey Ray paid a visit to talk to him about that. But he is someone that, again, we can only see what we see as fans. And, we're basically all of us, this is Red Smoke Rising. We are three guys that are trying to sound like we know everything there is to know about Corey Ray. And quite frankly, we just don't. And that's okay. As Jerry Hayes, I saw you in the chat. We don't have to know everything, Jerry Hayes. I'm with you on that. But David Gass is someone that's very connected and plugged in. And if he is someone that is giving an endorsement, I think that is a big plus. He has watched a lot of soccer in his time. He knows the league very well. And he is, I'm just excited about the pathways for young players, both homegrown and in the draft as well. And I think if we're getting that endorsement from David Gass, that makes me hype, Jake.
And absolutely. I think if you're a guy like Miguel Perez, who just got that option picked up and after having a great city 2 year, I think you're looking at this hire and you're like, can't wait. Let's get back on the field right now.
And, I wonder, Jake, if he can help get Caden Glover back on track, because he's hit a couple stumbling blocks in his development. And I'm literally like right behind me. I have about, 10 rookie cards of Caden Glover, and I'm counting on those to pay off at some point. So I'm also hopeful, Jake, that Ray can bring something out of Glover we haven't seen yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so but David Gass, far from the only one that had a lot of good things to say about Corey Ray. Jake, you've been kind of making the rounds a little bit. Also, thanks to Chris as well. He's been also making the rounds, as he is wont to do, getting a reaction from around the league and diving into Reddit's as well to kind of get the fan reaction from around the league. I'm seeing a lot of people from the crew that are really, really, really hyped on him. But as Jeremy works on getting that graphic pulled up here, I want to just say, if you're in the chat, there's 51 people watching this right now throughout our three channels. That is amazing, guys. Make sure to drop a follow if you are not subscribing or following. Red Smoke Rising is on. You can find us on X. You can find us on Insta. You can find us on Blue Sky. Give that account a follow, as we'll be posting show updates as we go along here. Again, this is kind of a soft launch of our show. We're going to really get going next month, but Really excited to have you guys aboard. And if you're on YouTube, again, make sure you are subscribed to STL Soccer News on YouTube, because that is where this show will live, only live on YouTube after a while. But let's go ahead and get to those Ray reviews. Jeremy, what do you got?
Yep. So again, another plug for STL Soccer News, because that's actually the tool that I use to get in touch with these guys through Chris's
site.
Did you
just call this a tool? Man, we're off to a great start. So we're going to be released from STL Soccer News. If anyone wants to host our brand new show, just let us know. Message us on our social media, Instagram, X, and Blue Sky.
Oh, Lord, no. But I used that website to get in touch with a couple of podcasts. The Ball is Round out of Montreal and For the Crew out of Columbus. And so this is what they had to say. Andy from The Ball is Round saying he seemed to have been considered Montreal's connection to agents, but never really was part of the decision-making. He even led an influence on Laurent Courtois being fired, even as the team was losing more. So he's seen as a background figure in Montreal, again, because of the way the Saputo brothers run that club up north of the border. But the For the Crew guys, they were extremely optimistic and loved what they saw from Corey Ray, saying as much as they would have rather the Crew moved him up instead of moving on to current general manager Issa Tall. Seemed like saying Ray felt slighted by being overlooked, and that's why he left for Montreal. They said that Ray has a good grasp of his role and a good head on his shoulders, then talked about a change in philosophy when he left the Crew too, but that also was because they also lost coaches. But the For the Crew guys saying that they would have almost rather had Corey Ray be the man in their club right now instead of Issa Tall, despite some of the recent Crew success under Wilfred Nancy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, and of course, they would know, because, you know, Ray was with the organization for a long time. And it's very interesting. So, we'll get into kind of his career highlights next year. But, you know, I find it very, interesting that, because we were talking about, where does Hack go from here? And he's been passed over now. Corey Ray, with Crew 2, he may have felt that he was ready to be the guy in Columbus after Bezpachenko left. And he wasn't picked for that. He was also at Toronto for a long time. And let's go ahead and get into that timeline here. When I say a long time, Jeremy, I mean a long time. Like, I was only 3 years removed from high school, Jeremy, when he started with Toronto.
Well, I was like fresh out of college. He was one of their first interns, as far as I understand, with Toronto. And he worked his way up from just an intern up to manager of team ops, senior manager of team ops, all the way up. You can see there on our graphic that if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening later, go ahead and reference the video if you can. But I mean, he moved all the way up to assistant GM with Toronto over his, almost 14 years, probably.
Yeah. By the way, 14 years is a long time to stay at one place. Especially in this era, right, Jake?
Yeah, and especially in this era and that industry, too.
Yeah. Well, I picked on you, Jake, because you're the youngin' amongst us. And
I was two when he got hired. So,
And how rare is that, though, to think about the longevity within an organization, especially if you're thinking he's moving throughout the ranks, if they had leadership changes, because that's very early on. I mean, I think Toronto, again, they didn't start playing until like 2007, I think, was their first season, or 2008, yeah, somewhere around there. So, I mean, he's literally day one through the doors and then stays through any leadership changes, any major things. And then, is there while they've discovered Jacob Silver or Schaffelberg, who I think we all are probably more familiar with from his Nashville days.
Yeah.
And then Jaden Nelson as well. But I mean, he comes through the ranks and forms that relationship with Bezpachenko, and that kind of skyrockets him from there.
It really does. And he helped build a very good academy, in Toronto as well. I mean, it's a, pretty highly regarded academy, at least, of course, Toronto gets, you think of Toronto, you think of like the Insigne signings and, the big splashy signings that they unfortunately made. But it kind of buries the fact that, they've developed some good youngsters over the years for sure. But then in 2020, right before COVID, So he spends his entire time in Toronto in a pre-COVID world, which was, it was a better world back then. But March 2020, he joins the Columbus Crew as an assistant GM. So he was assistant GM at Toronto FC. He was named assistant GM in 2017. 3 years later, jumps to Columbus Crew 2. And this is, I think, Jeremy, where he starts getting on the map a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, from there, he's really put in charge as the guy for Crew 2. They were really putting an emphasis on developing their academy and really, again, kind of like what he did in Toronto, developing that pipeline from academy to first team. And that's what he did, leading the 2022 Columbus Crew or assembling that team. And as Jake mentioned earlier, they beat St. Louis City to in the MLS Next Pro Cup final that year in 2022, and as a result of his work, he was named the executive of the year in Next Pro. And it wasn't a one-year wonder either, because he was a finalist the next year in 2023 as well. I mean, Tom, I think right off the top you mentioned St. Louis and Patrick Schulte,
who
he drafted. But I mean, never other guys, right? Other guys, of course we have no idea who he is. But I mean, other guys that have been kind of tied to Corey Ray's tenure in Columbus are Mo Farsi, Jason Russell Rowe, but then Max Arfston, who we were talking before we went on the air, guys, he's seen recent caps for the U.S. men's national team. So it speaks to some of Ray's ability to identify those guys and put them in a system that can ultimately develop them into some pretty quality talent.
Yeah, you really do. And you think of the talent that is, you know, kind of waiting to take that next step that St. Louis City has now, like, you know, Mekhi Joyner, someone like Brendan McScorley, Emilio Escalinas, you know, someone that, you know, he's older as well. So, you know, it's kind of like we need to figure out what we got with him going forward. But he had a pretty good campaign with City too. I mean, he was kind of like a, you know, and Jake, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he was kind of like a, we have a Klaus at home, you know, in that he did a lot of things, you know, away from the ball, not necessarily scoring goals, but he was contributing in a lot of other areas, right?
Yeah, and he basically runs like Klaus too.
Really? they're both like baby giraffes out there. It's adorable.
Yeah,
but so I'm really excited. You know, I mean, you mentioned some of those names, like, you know, Arnson's exciting. Russell Rowe is someone that, you know, I think is definitely well known. And you know, as Aaron pointed out in the chat, you know, Corey Ray is Canadian, so hopefully he knows how to work a visa so that in the future when Falou Fall and or someone we just signed needs to get to Vancouver for a game, he can maybe figure out a way to get him there.
And real quick, Tom, I do want to throw out one thing. For those, again, watching on YouTube and looking at this graphic, you might say, oh, we're missing the supporter shields, the other trophies that you know, were kind of tied to Corey Ray. Mm-hmm. Since he wasn't directly influenced on with, you know, necessarily with the first team in some of these roles, I didn't include them. So he does have ties to some silverware. The club release mentioned those, but that's why they were omitted here.
Right, because there's still a lot that we don't exactly know about how much influence he had with Crew, and that's, and again, that this is all, like, you know, front office dynamic stuff that us, you know, us plebs don't ever get to see in person. We could just kind of speculate on, but he did all this great work at Crew too, and then he goes to Montreal, Jeremy, and that's when things get kind of wild.
They get murky at best, and again, it's part of the Saputo brothers circus. As I'll put it, because, you know, for as dysfunctional as the situation is in St. Louis or that we perceive it to be, multiple sources around the league talk about some of the things going on behind the scenes, where you have a family who also owns a club in Italy, in Bologna, and they put a lot of their focus and their energy on that club, and Montreal is kind of an afterthought.
Which, by the way, Colorado fans can relate to that, as they are owned by a man that puts way too much focus in Arsenal than their clubs. So, you know, it's some guy named Kroenke. You may have heard of him once or twice.
Oh, my ears are burning. You had to mention the devil.
That's right. That's right. My heart's been burning for 10 years with him, so it's fine.
But yeah, so we get him hired, him being Corey Ray, hired in Montreal, at first as a consultant for the sporting department. Again, not really clear how much of what his responsibilities were in that time. Eventually, he's named the director of soccer, but then in November, he's let go and replaced by, you know, by family of the Saputos. So there's, again, it's murky at best. We don't know exactly what he did. I did include, you know, some of the players that were that he could have been involved in bringing. We again don't know specifics on exactly what role he played, but during his time there, they acquired the best player they got was Prince Owosu in a GAM trade with Toronto. They also brought in Jakalele Marshall Ruddy. They also brought in Jalen Neal from the Galaxy, and then Giacomo Veroni from the New England Revolution. So there were some big acquisitions with GAM and trades. But again, the problem here is we just don't know how much of that was Corey Ray versus, you know, the Saputos or whoever else is involved.
I think if you really read between the tea leaves with everything that has been said about his time there and what, you know, folks that would be in the know would say, I think the answer to your question there is not much. You know, and it felt like as time went on, it just got kind of less and less and less. And working for the Saputos has to be like working for Jerry Jones, you know, and with the Dallas Cowboys, you know, like, you know, you are just, you know, getting their coffee at this point. Jake, I don't think if you were offered the sporting director a job at CF Montreal, would you even take it?
Well, I mean, yeah, but.
OK, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Okay, we were just testing. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you can get the bag for a while before that you get Nepo fired. So
exactly, yeah. get that experience I need.
Well, exactly. Again, because again, you know, how can you get experience if you don't have experience?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the chicken and the egg argument when it comes to the employment line. So, and speaking of the chicken and the egg, so we have our sporting director now, and now the focus now shifts to who's going to coach this team. Who's going to coach this team? Now that we got a sporting director, that is the next step. Now, it tells me with the work visa situation with Corey Ray not being resolved until closer to Thanksgiving, I wouldn't expect a new head coach before Thanksgiving. Maybe this time next month, if I just had to guess, but that is a total guess. We've not heard of any names that are really been speculated. Of course, the number one name that is attached to this is the name that's been attached to the job for, I think, 160 days now after Olaf got sacked, David Critchley. So David Critchley, another younger coach that has something to prove. In theory, Jeremy, wouldn't he make a good fit with Corey Ray in that dynamic where I think both would have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder?
Yeah, and I think building on that even further, I think something we've heard a lot from Critchley talking in, you know, different interviews and sessions with the media, he seems to be an analytics guy because he talks a lot about distance covered. He talks about sprint speed. He talks about recoveries, PPDA, all of these types of things that you associate with data and analytics in the new, you know, the new world of thinking about the game of football. So it, could that be a fit? Maybe I could see it. And we know he's well loved by the players.
Yeah. And that's a huge thing. Cause what's that saying, Jake? Culture eats tactics for breakfast.
I've never heard that one, but
well, have you ever eaten tactics for breakfast?
No.
No, me neither. Jake, Jeremy, have you?
I mean, only with a really lot of milk on top. Yeah, they're like cereal. You gotta choke them down. They're like cereal. You pour them in a bowl. You know, sometimes they're X's. Sometimes, oh wait, no, that's cereal. Never mind.
Oh,
I rarely eat breakfast anyway, so.
Same. But you know, growing up, me and my step siblings had to eat a lot of cornflakes, and our way of surviving cornflakes was just dumping a bunch of sugar on top of them, you know, and I'm type 2 diabetes, by the way, so I can't say if that contributed or not, but it probably didn't help. But how do you think, Jake, you know, the Critch Ray dynamic would work if that is indeed the direction we go?
I think it'd be interesting. It's going to be like that fit, you know, like you got both analytical minds, and I just really hope you see that work well together.
I think it's got potential, but again, the key word there is potential because Ray's got potential, Critchley's got potential, and I think both have unrealized potential, and we'll see if they actually do get a chance to work on that. By the way, in the chat, Felix points out that tactics are for breakfast alongside a healthy diet of English Premier League at 6 a.m. So I think you can get some tactics for breakfast at Amsterdam Tavern game days. But go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was going to say, when you're talking about the coaching search too, I was just looking it up. It was 188 days. Between, that's how long it took us to find Olaf. He was hired on 11/26, or that's the date of the announcement of last year. So do we think, I guess the question is, are we going to have, we can't conceivably wait 188 days because I think that would put us near or after the start of the season. I don't know. I have a calendar in front of me, unfortunately.
Well, no, I mean, the meter on Olaf to now is at about 160 days. I forget where my countdown lost track was. So like we're probably looking at about 188 days if we're looking, you know, a little after Thanksgiving.
So they say that, and they said Diego in the article that Tom Timmerman had on the Post, again, a good read. If you have a chance to read it, do so.
Very.
He called it, said that the timeline, I want to get this right. I think he said, I would say it accelerates significantly now, end quote, saying that they had more than 20 candidates, more than a handful went to the final stage of deep interview. So it sounds like, you know, Corey Ray is going to be heavily involved in this process and that it's going to really hit full gear. So I don't know if we'll have a coach by Thanksgiving. But the good news is, based on the timeline of Corey Ray's visa, he'd have his visa and be able to work by the time free agency starts.
Yes. And I think that's key, Jake. You know, especially, you know, because it would be really help free agency if we had our coach lined up, you know, so that way, you know, players know what tactically that they are going to be playing under. And Jake, we were talking a little bit about Courtois, you know, over the past few days. And I bring up Courtois. I don't know if Laurent Courtois has been like actually mentioned as a rumor. I keep bringing him up. And why do I keep bringing him up, you ask? Well, I was at a St. Louis Blues game recently, and Jake, you were at the St. Louis Blues game with me. We had a chance to bump into Diego Gigliani in the hallway, and you got a selfie with him. That's right. I got mine with Lutz yesterday, so we're even. Yep, but so one thing I remember about Lutz, Lutz loved hockey. And so he was always in the Carolyn Kindle season tickets that were on the glass behind one of the goals. I think it's like 124. And so it became kind of a habit to, like, when I'm at Blues games, to check down there and see like what city guys are down there, because like players have sat back there. Like Klaus was back there before. Betcher's been back there before. So it's just, you know, star watching. And so we were at the game, and Diego was there with two guys. One of them, Jake, and Chris will remind me I couldn't quite get it on my phone because it was so far away, and my S23 Ultra doesn't work that well, but that guy, Jake, kind of looked like Laurent Courtois. And I think our buddy Stu Holgren from Flyover Footy did some detective work. And what would you, first of all, do you think it was Laurent Courtois with him? And second of all, do you think Laurent Courtois would be a good fit for City?
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of similar to Critchley. You know, they both came up through Next Pro in that kind of development area. And I just feel like they got similar backgrounds. And I don't know if it was Laurent Courtois. I want to believe it was.
Yeah.
Because that gets us closer to actual head coach as opposed to an interim. But I'm either way, Critchley or Courtois, I'm fine with either one.
I'm in that same boat as well, although very interestingly enough, Courtois throughout his career has played with a three in the back. So I think the immediate reaction when, you know, mentioning Courtois, people get, you know, the shakes because that was Melberg's system, but not all three in the back systems are alike. And Melberg's was very, very conservative. In fact, I read an article or a quote or somewhere where Courtois mentioned after he left Montreal that he didn't like that he wasn't able to press as much. He wanted to press a little bit more than he was. So that tells me that he could be a fit. But Jeremy, do you have, like, what's your wish list, you know, for our next head coach?
I wish I could tell you I have one. Give me somebody that can win. That's honestly all I want at this point. I want consistent results home or away. The interesting thing about Courtois And again, this could just mean absolutely nothing. For some reason, he's randomly followed myself and Matt Baker. He followed Baker before he followed me on X. So I don't know what that means or if it means nothing. Maybe he just likes good soccer content when he's bored. I don't know why he'd be following me then. But anyway, not the point. But not the point, guys. I think I was actually looking at what he did when he was at crew with Crew 2. He played a 4-3-4 or a 3-4-3 is what he played. So slightly different than Melberg, might be more, you know, and again, I hate to say this, but if the club was talking about keeping Konrad Wallum, one of the positions he played is wingback, would you go and bring in a coach that uses wingbacks, and whether it's a 3-4-3 or a 5-3-2 or some variation of those, you kind of can start to line up the dots a little bit and say, maybe there's a shift in culture, especially what you just mentioned too, Tom, about the pressing.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny you bring up Konrad Wallum as well. Before I get to the pressing part, I'm having visions of Wallum on as a left mid and Totlin as a right mid, and they're very pleasant, you know, imaginations right now. I think that would be fun. Of course, this would mean that we would have to bring in reinforcements at center back, because Kessler, we don't know if he's going to be coming back or not. I suspect that he might be trying to dip his toes in Europe, you know, and seeing what's out there. I know we love St. Louis. Everyone that is, you don't need anyone to tell you that he loves St. Louis. Just look at his Instagram. I mean, the guy legit loves it here. Whether he comes back, we'll see about that. We have other center backs whose contracts are up. One who I will not mention because I don't think he should be back. Nice guy, great heart, great leader. Not an MLS center back. I'm sorry. I love you, Josh Yarrow. I did mention your name, but it's time to move on. It's time to move on from Josh Yarrow. We'll see what happens with the head coaching search. Obviously, we got some time to go on that. And I think by the time we come back for Red Smoke Rising, we might have a coach by then. So we'll be able to dive into him a little bit further on here. One more thing before we kind of get into our final opinions and kind of wrap up the show a little bit. Jake, you had compiled some notes, you know, about City 2 and the Academy and how Corey Ray might fit with that. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, I mean, we had already kind of touched on them throughout the show, but I do wonder, pending options or the end of roster decisions, what this means for a player like Lucas Demitra, who's in that younger, he's 22, and he's got potential. I mean, he came over from Trenton, you know. I believe he has a couple youth caps with Slovakia. But I wonder what that means for a player like him.
He's an interesting one. Of course, he's got the connection with his father as well. And I think he's I correct me if I'm wrong, Jake, but we didn't see much of him on City 2 this year because he was hurt, right?
Yeah, preseason injury.
Yeah, so he kind of got venceled. Another center back, by the way, that we will not be seeing again, unfortunately. I heard with Wenzel, it was like a really nagging injury that he just could not get right. So when we were playing Olaf Ball and we were looking for any man that could play center back and he wasn't playing, that was why.
I do feel like Demetra might be in the same boat because he did miss a bunch of time last year as well towards the end of the season, and he actually missed time this season too. Later stages of this season.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with him. And by the way, I cannot verify that Demetra in Czech means Pedro. I'll have to double check that. So, by the way, in case you're new to us, by the way, and you're new to Jake is a big Selmir Pedro fan, and we love reminding him of that. So,
I still have my Velez jersey.
Yeah, so we're gonna by the time we get into the regular season, we're gonna have a drinking game on Red Smoke Rising of things that you hear during the episode, and Pedro references will probably, you know, you'll take, you know, that'll be one of the categories where you take a shot. So
we're just gonna have a segment dedicated to what's Pedro doing now.
Well,
as the Pedro turns,
I don't know. Where's Kojima? Just have to ask that question.
You had to go there. That's fair. Kojima is still in DC, unfortunately, and he is currently being held hostage by a wooden spoon winning team. So. Someone please rescue our boy Jose Kojima. By the way, Jeremy, do you have a Pedro or a Kojima of your own that you just irrationally love? You know, even though that they're probably not as good as you think they are.
You know, I actually got to think about that for a minute. I probably do, but I got to think who that might be. That'll be the next episode.
Your homework for next episode. Who is Jeremy's Pedro? In fact, actually, if you're in the chat right now, drop some suggestions. And this could include Manchester United players as well. In fact, I encourage that because I love picking on Manchester United players.
Why not just throw in the whole Manchester United team?
That'd be the easy answer right now. We're a lot of mid. There isn't a lot of great.
Are you Amorim in or you're Amorim out?
Right now I'm Amorim in, but I mean, it's only been 10 games and they just dropped points to, who did we just play? Was it Brent? It wasn't Brentford.
He played us. Played Forest. Yeah.
Forest, that's right. We dropped points to Dyche's Forest in his first, was that his first game or second game? It doesn't matter.
I think it was third.
Either way, we're tangenting. I'll get all my homework.
So, did any of your teams beat Real Madrid today? No. Okay.
Play Real Madrid.
Mine beat PSG.
Really?
My other team. Yeah.
What's European footy like? I don't know what that. I don't know what European competitions are.
Well, I mean, Lutz brought Europe to us, so
I still have nightmares of Grimsby Town, for Christ's sake.
Grimsby Town. Oh man, that is a quintessential lower league English club, Grimsby Town.
Between them and Luton, who play in like a backyard, which is crazy too. Anyway, sorry.
I think the Gene Slade Boys and Girls Club in Soulard would be willing to host that. They have a soccer field that's very uneven.
But no, so but Jake, what will the rest of the academy impact be? You think? I know. Do you think? I mean, Tom, you mentioned Glover earlier. Do you think we get Caden back on track? Do you think we see? We've seen McSorley and we've seen Joyner. I mean, is there a world where he finds another gear in a Seth Antwi, or do we think it's just time to draft and rebuild as a younger side and next pro?
I think two names to watch out for, two wingbacks or left backs, whatever, are Tyson Pierce, who's already a homegrown, and Emiliano Chavez.
Yes.
Who started seeing a little bit more significant time towards the end of the season, but he's highly touted in the academy. So I can't wait to see.
Was he what, a 15?
Chavez is 17, I believe.
17.
Yeah, I think he's a U18.
16 or 17. Oh. I know I put him in Football Manager this year, so because I was involved in the St. Louis City roster ratings for that, and I put him in Football Manager. But I think to put him in Football Manager, you have to be over 16, or 16 or over. So he's of age. I will say with Chavez, he was someone I was very excited about at the start of the season because he was the only one to me that looked like a proper left back on that roster. Because Jay Reid, we were thinking he was going to be up on the main roster. I think there were times this year, Jake, where he has a little growing to do. I think. Yeah. I think Absolutely. He's got a little bit growing to do, but I think they managed it well, and I think next year he'll be ready to take a next step, and I'm really excited to see him. I'm excited. Cornelius is another one I'm really excited to see, you know, again. And I think if Mackay is going to be full-time roster next year and if McSorley is going to be full-time roster next year, unleash Cornelius.
Yep, absolutely. Well,
and we had a U15 who got a call-up to the national team this year, too. I forget what his name is off the top of my head. Wasn't he, like, player of the year among the
Eddie Niles.
Eddie Niles. Yep, another one to watch out for. We'll get you schooled on these guys. We'll get some context behind these names going forward. But real quick, just final thoughts on Corey Ray. We talked a little bit about nerves. We talked about his history. We talked about what he's done, what he hasn't done. I'll just say I'm optimistic on Corey Ray. I like what I hear from him. I like the potential of him. I like that we are hiring someone that has room to grow, and you know that is something of maybe an unfinished product, if you will. That you know, we're not bringing in a Peter Vermees. you know, that or someone that or like a Jim Curtin, for instance, you know, like that has been in the league for a long time and is very set in their ways. Corey seems to be someone that is willing to innovate and, you know, try new things. And he's, you know, very data driven, which is where this game is kind of going. I think a different approach. You know, while again, Diego kind of, you know, I had that little dig at Lutz for his network, which is whatever. I am interested in seeing what a different philosophy looks like, you know, for this club going forward. I think the fan base was ready for something different going forward as well. I'm excited to see what he does with the kids going forward. And I am also just kind of excited, to have excitement again, you know, when it comes to the future of this club. I mean, I know we haven't made a single signing in the January window yet. We haven't hired our head coach yet. But I'm just optimistic. I am very optimistic about it. And I think part of it's just because I've gone so long without being optimistic that I'm tired of it. So, we got our sporting director. We have a way forward. That's where I stand. I'm optimistic. Go around the table, Jeremy, final thoughts on Ray.
Willing to give him a chance with great risk, in terms of taking someone who's a little unproven in the role, can come great reward. So he's got some tools at his disposal now. We'll hopefully find who the coach is, but he's got enough wiggle room on the roster with, I think there's a total of 11 open slots on the roster right now, including at least 6 to the senior roster, flexibility to go either way with a roster model with either a designated player or a U22. Mm-hmm. And, you know, lots to look forward to with, you know, free agency starting on December the 10th and, you know, talking about his ability to put young sides together, the super draft coming December 18th.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing what Ray does in that draft as well. I'll never forget the Owen O'Malley pick for the life of me. We took Owen O'Malley over Duncan McGuire, and that makes me sick. But before I get to you, Jake, I want to give a quick shout out to Kayla in the chat. She points out that the Confluence kit curse is over. We can now burn our Confluence kits. Although I feel we broke, you know, I the curse was over about a month left to go in the season, because we actually won away games in that kit. So maybe some justice for the Confluence kit. But I also got to give you some dap, Kayla, as well, because you mentioned Johnny Klein was your Kojima and Pedro in the chat. And anyone that knew me in 2023 knew that I was a simp for Johnny Klein, because he was my slew guy. I always thought that, you know, yeah, he may be small, but he needed a chance. Turns out he was a little too small for MLS, but I love me some Johnny Klein, and I wish him nothing but the best going forward. But Jake, your final thoughts on Corey Ray, optimistic, worried, what do you think?
Cautiously optimistic. I'll keep it at that, but just cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, very cautiously optimistic. So I think that's fair. I think that is a very fair statement. We need to see what he does in this window. I think when this show gets closer to preseason, we can definitely. I think we should call back this episode and our thoughts on Ray as time goes on, just to see where we are, you know, in the months to come with him. For sure, he's got a lot of holes that need to be filled. He's still got contract decisions to make. And I think when we come back next month, as we head closer to free agency, we can kind of talk about where he's going to go in free agency and where his what all needs to be filled. But just some key dates for MLS as it relates to decisions. So November 26th, that's the deadline date for submitting offers and exercising options for players. So we still have a few players that have not had their options exercised yet. We have some players that are heading to free agency. We need to make decisions on. And November 26th is going to be that drop dead date for that. So, and then Jeremy, you mentioned the super draft coming up on December 18th, 8 days before then, free agency does begin. So, again, we'll be back on Red Smoke Rising on December 2nd. That'll be a Tuesday. This is kind of a soft launch of our show here. We will, once the season gets going around, we will be every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I want to thank everyone that's been in the chat. 61 of you people right now. This is absolutely nuts. Thank you so much for your support. This is a brand new podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. Finally, just thank you to, of course, want to give some dap to Chris Gebhardt, who is helping make all this happen and has laid the groundwork for really just content creators in general, that guy right down there. So thank you so much, Chris.
No problem. We'll all be watching for the next episode and look forward to hearing you guys talk some more city soccer. So,
absolutely. Thanks. So we'll go around the table here. I'm your soccer zombie, Tom Franklin.
I'm Jeremy Clements.
I'm Jake Henry.
And this has been Red Smoke Rising. And remember, always keep moving forward. See you next month.